Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 5 is our first reading. And then second reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18. Let's go first to the first reading in Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 5. Now the Lord has said to Abram, "Get out of your country, for your family, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Blessed be the name of the Lord for reading that portion. And on our second reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's begin from verse 14 to 18. Verses 14 to 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord as Christ with Belial or the devil? Or what part as a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement as the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, "I will dwell in them, and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." May God also bless that portion of his reading. I want to bring your attention this morning that in Matthew 22, verse 42, you can go back, you can go check that if you will, that our Lord Jesus Christ inquiring to his disciples says these things. What think ye of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you think of Christ? This is always the challenge to all people who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What do you think of Christ? And of course, one of his disciples answered him, and that is Peter, who got that revelation from God. And Peter is one of the disciples who denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. "I do not know him. I do not know him. Please, don't put me to prison. I do not know him." And then, at chapter 21 of John, the Lord Jesus, when they met them for the last time, Peter, do you really love me? Yes, Lord, I do love you. And then the Lord Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my flock. Peter, do you really love me? Of course. With all his heart. He wants to show to the Lord that he loves the Lord. But at this time, these Greek words, it's not the love, agape love, that God wants him to respond. It is the love of phileo. It's a Greek word which is like the brotherly love, sister love, or the parental love that is interacting in the arts of friends, in your family, and in your interaction with the world. We once have those kinds of response to God. We thought it's the love of God. But the third time, the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter, for the third time, is because he knows in his the Lord Jesus see in the Peter's heart that it's not the love of God that is responding. That's why the third time he asked Peter, Peter, do you really love me? And of course, by that time, he was convicted that he denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. And he was really convicted. Yes, Lord, you know that I really love you. Therefore then, if you really love me, second time, third time, feed my lamb for the second time, and then feed my sheep for the flock that you will in the future take over and lead. That is a great challenge. I hope that tonight or this morning we will look into ourselves after being saved by grace through faith, through Christ alone, if the love of Christ is really the one responding in every day of our lives. So, what do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? Matthew 22, verse 42 says, or asked by the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a strong call for scriptural separation. In other words, if you followed Christ, our Lord, we must be willing to be separated from the things of this world, from the fleshly desires of this world. That's why this call of separation from fellowship with sin and unbelief is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. Particularly his disciples. There can be no peaceful coexistence between the truth and error. What I mean to say is that truth must be truth from the Word of God. And we cannot fellowship with what is erroneous teaching of a religion that is imposed upon us, which that man, Martin Luther, was forced to uphold and to bow down. It must come by grace through faith. So that's why truth and error cannot coexist forever. That's why God raised this person, Martin Luther, to reveal the truth that we are saved by grace through faith alone, through Christ alone, and for the glory of God alone, and through the scriptures alone, that our life will be guided and will be the rule of our life. That's why the scriptures are so important. Thank you for allowing us to be reminded that in Korea, hopefully here as well, that we can memorize Philippians, the whole book of Philippians. Now, by the help of the Holy Spirit, this morning, we shall now set forth three calls, the three calls of our Lord Jesus Christ for sanctification, or for holy and righteous living. That is what it calls separation. Not what the world offers us. Although we are in this world, we should not be possessed by the world, but possessed by the truth of our great inheritance, that we are saved by grace through faith alone, through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that eternal life is through Christ alone. That is the greatest inheritance that we have. That is the greatest riches that we can have. And that is very important uppermost this morning. First, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ called for separation, for total turning or gradual turning from this world into total surrender of our lives to Christ. So the first call was for separation in Genesis 12:1-5, which says, "Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 4, we like to check that right now. God divided the light from darkness. You see, light must be divided from darkness. We cannot coexist with truth and error. That still the traditional religion of Rome imposed upon many people, even today. God wants and calls men to surrender their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only real high priest who came to die and save us from the eternal separation, which is hell. The memory verse of the children a while ago, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to save those who are sinners. He came to seek and save those who are lost. That includes you and me and the future children of this world. And that includes your loved ones in the family as well. Praise God that this truth can be ours if we are going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And great, have these great blessings. And we will be a blessing to others. As Abraham was told that he will be a source of blessing to all the nations. And until now. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And so this whole first Bible of the Bible of Genesis chapter 12 is definitely and distinctly the first call of Christ, which we must obey. We must get away from our original home of sin unto the new Canaan, which is the kingdom of Christ, kingdom of God. And our rule of faith is only the scriptures alone, by grace alone, by faith alone, for the glory of God in Christ alone. And then the second call of Christ for separation is 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 to 18. It says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." In other words, don't mingle, don't follow the footsteps of unbelievers. If we are saved once by grace through faith alone, through Christ alone, to our Lord Jesus Christ. "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" You cannot mix water and oil and have a final product. The oil will always go up. And the water will go down. So is truth and error. We cannot mix them. There's only one truth. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me or through me." So what a great inheritance we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what communion at light with darkness. And what accord or agreement at Christ with Belial or the demons or the devil. Or what part hath he that believeth with that infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. What a privilege indeed when we are called sons and daughters of God. Only by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, us by grace through faith, that we can be saved. This is the Lord's definite command against unequal yoke, which illustrates in Deuteronomy 22:10, thou shalt not plow. You know, this is the farmer's job in cultivating the field. Thou shalt not plow with an ass and an oxen together. It means these two animals are different in height and in strength. So if you use these animals to plow, you see how the strength, one will be not strong, one will be not quite strong. As you can see how troublesome it can be when those animals go forward. The one will walk quickly with strength, the other one will walk slowly and with less strength. How can that be? The job will not be done. That's why truth and error cannot coexist. That's why we are commanded not to plow with an ass and an ox together. And he enforces this truth with a series of challenging questions, demanding purity in his church. This is what the Lord Jesus is demanding of us. The first question, what fellowship, any participation or sharing, hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Come to think about that. What fellowship is righteousness with unrighteousness? Second question that we must ask ourselves, what communion, or the word Greek, koinonia, or fellowship, hath light with darkness? You cannot mix darkness and light together. Can you do that? That's why we put on our light when it's dark, isn't it? So that light will prevail. Third question, what concord or what agreement or harmony or symphony had Christ with the devil? That is Satan and his members, which are set. It's a satanic antichrist today. And the fourth question, what part had he that believeth with an infidel? As idolatry is definitely forbidden in the Word of God, worship of false God in the image of, they think like God, made in the hands of men, but they cannot see, they cannot feel, they cannot hear, because they are false God. So this is idolatry. It is condemned in the Word of God. It is impossible for true believers to have fellowship with such idolatrous system as the Roman teaching, the popery teaching or churches, and the Eastern traditional churches, which are based on the teaching of the traditional church, Rome. This brings us to the last question of our Lord's challenge to separate. And that is the fifth question. What agreement at the temple of God with idols? The word agreement means to sit down together or to be in allegiance, in union with. That's why if we're going to ask the traditional religion, religious members like the Pope membership or the Roman Church, if you ask them, do you really worship these different wooden saints? Oh, no, no, no. We don't worship them. We just trying to remember them. That still cannot coexist, because God hates everything that is false idolatry. That is not, that is made in the image, in the image graven by the hands of man. There's only one true living God who revealed himself through our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is a spirit. We cannot contain God in one wooden or cement-made idol. This is abhorrent, and God hates every form of idolatry. So it settles the issue. The children of God who are born again of his spirit and his word cannot, under any sense or any circumstances or any time, enter into any alliance with idolatrous worship. We cannot put all those hanging there and as if when people pray, you can see they said they don't talk to them. But they do. Because I was once a Catholic and I did a lot of rosary as well. But I thought, that brings me to salvation. But what the word of God that says, I am the way, the Lord Jesus said, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me, the Lord Jesus said. So I immediately bow down my head to the Lord Jesus when I discover this truth. That he is the only way, by grace through faith. And believe in him. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devil. Do we not provoke the Lord to jealousy when we do that in the past? Of course we are provoking the Lord to jealousy, because he's a jealous God. Are we stronger than he? Of course we are not stronger than he. We are like a vapor, like a flower. We are living for a while, and then tomorrow, a few minutes, we are gone. That humbles us to say and to hear again that idolatry is condemned by God in his Ten Commandments. As in 1 Samuel 5, 2-3, and the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon, the false god, was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of God of Jehovah. So you see, these idols will not prevail against our true God. That's why God raised this man, Martin Luther, to reveal the truth that we are justified by grace through faith. It is not only the human priest, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the only means to God. He is our real priest. And we can approach him any time of the day without any intervention from among men. And we are saved by grace through faith. And that faith alone gives us access on the throne of God's grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And Ephesians 5:7 says, and 11, be not ye therefore partakers with them, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them, correct them, or convict them, being you yourselves as light in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 5:21, it warns us that idolaters have their part in the lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. Praise God. We were separated from this brimstone by God drawing us unto himself through the Lord Jesus Christ by grace through faith. And know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The world has entered the church today through the door that we speak of as modernism today, modern worship, modern way of praising God, man-made worship, modernistic approach to worship God. Say to the pastor what we want to hear only, and not what the word of God. Say to the pastor that we will sing only what makes our heart happy, and not the sweet psalms that we just sing or sang a while ago. Dictate to the pastor that this is what we want to hear. And that is a lot of churches today. They want what they want to hear. This is apostasy. We are only supposed to hear what the word of God is to say to us, and not what men impose upon us. The modern mind cannot accept the truth of the Christian faith of the apostles and the man of reformers like John Calvin. We, the man of God, like Calvin, explained those truths, and a lot of people were transformed from that day when he discovered that we are saved by grace through faith, through our Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of God. And when they have read the word of God in their own language, because he spent so much time writing and translating the word of God from Hebrew and Greek into the German language, European language, and now the old English language, the word of God is available so that they can respond to this discovery of this man that we are saved by grace through faith alone, by grace alone through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. And then, listen to what the Bible says about godly attitude towards unbelief. If you are an unbeliever, listen. If you are a Christian who sometimes is not sure of what the Word of God should occupy our minds and be changed from glory to glory into a holy and righteous life, which is the call of Christ for full sanctification or separation, this is what the Word of God says, and I'll just mention about three of them. What is required in our life that is godly attitude towards from unbelief, from hardness of heart. First, let us try the truth. Beloved, in 1 John 4, 1 says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits which, whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Mark them. Romans 16:17 says, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Oh, the thesis, 95 theses that Martin Luther put are a challenge. And the error that the traditional Roman teaching has been discovered erroneous. Thank God for this 500 years today of celebrating Reformation, because today we are not only called for separation from the false teaching of worship from false idols into a real true God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. He is the true priest who gave his life for us. He is the true sacrifice, not the sacrificial offering of the Mass, which blesses by the priest, and the bread become actual body of Christ according to their preaching, and the wine becomes the actual blood. This, according to the scriptures, is idolatry. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ, through his precious blood, and his body is offered to his Father on the cross, that we can all be saved. What a marvelous truth that we must now embrace and live by them. And then, withdraw thyself from this false teaching. 2 Thessalonians says 3:6, now we have command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, because they are still attached to traditional worship, and not after the tradition which you have received from us, not from the tradition of the teaching of the scriptura, the only scriptures that we must follow as the rule and guide for our faith. Praise God. Let us be encouraged that we have to memorize the scriptures, not only the children. Praise God, there are some people in the Philippines as well that are memorizing one chapter, two chapters as well. But for one book, what a bigger challenge, but it's possible. And be ye separate. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. And finally, two questions must be asked to ourselves. Why are we called to separate or to a righteous, holy living, full surrender? Because we must not have fellowship with the sins nor with the sinners. That's why we must select our friends, the body of Christ. That's why those who fellowship together in the body of Christ worship God together, sing with joy together like the Psalms. And they serve God together in witnessing to others, challenging others to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by grace through faith alone, for the glory of God, and through the scriptures alone. And then, secondly, where may people go? There is but one answer to this question. Our only refuge is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the shelter in the time of storm. He will hide us in his pavilion. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Praise God, our Lord. Who is on the Lord's side? Now, the cry, as in the days of Moses. At the time of apostasy, people who reject God and his teaching and the gospel in nowadays, who continue to reject their great invite from the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. This is apostasy in our days, as in the days of Moses. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me, the Lord Jesus said. Come unto me, all ye who are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The rest is from the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, we are not only called for separation from sin, and from separation from the falsehood of idolatry. Praise God, we were saved by grace through faith. If you are not a believer this morning, dearly beloved, take this chance. Life may not come tomorrow, but tonight, if you hear the word of God, harden not your heart. Come to Christ, because tomorrow you may not come. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy household. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy word which you have given to us this morning. I thank you for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that washes away our sin. Thank you that he is our Savior. Thank you that he is our High Priest. Thank you that he is the only name, but only name, whereby man can be saved. Thank you that today is his call for others to have a chance to come unto him and be saved and pray to him, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins. Cleanse me from all my wickedness and come unto me and rule my heart as my Lord and Savior. And for us, may we continually, Lord, accept thy challenge for us to live a righteous and holy living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.